Hello and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Today we're doing a book study on A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, written by Eckhart Tolle. And we hope that you have your copy so that you can follow along with us. Today we are on Chapter 2, Section 1, Ego, the Current State of Humanity. My name is Barbara Wainwright and I'm here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you. Words, no matter whether they are vocalized and made into sounds or remain unspoken as thoughts, can cast an almost hypnotic spell upon you. You easily lose yourself in them, become hypnotized into implicitly believing that when you have attached a word to something, you know what it is. The fact is, you don't know what it is. You have only covered up the mystery with a label. Everything, a bird, a tree, even a simple stone, and certainly a human being, is ultimately unknowable. This is because it has unfathomable depth. All we can perceive, experience, think about is the surface level of reality, less than the tip of an iceberg.
I think we can have compassion, true compassion for somebody if we've had a similar experience. But if we don't have any idea of what somebody's going through, it's difficult to understand the depth. That's what he says here. It's unfathomable depth. And I think that's so true. We couldn't possibly know what somebody else's experience is. Underneath the surface appearance, everything is not only connected with everything else, but also with the source of all life out of which it came. Even a stone, and more easily a flower or a bird, could show you the way back to God, to the source, to yourself. When you look at it or hold it and let it be, without imposing a word or a mental label on it, a sense of awe, of wonder, arises within you. Its essence silently communicates itself to you and reflects your own essence back to you. This is what great artists sense and succeed in conveying in their art. Van Gogh didn't say, "That's just an old chair." He looked and looked and looked. He sensed the beingness of the chair. Then he sat in front of the canvas and took up the brush. The chair itself would have sold for the equivalent of a few dollars. The painting of that same chair today would fetch in excess of $25 million.
I love that when he talks about being with the source, like in how even a stone or a flower or a bird can show you the way back to God or back to source. It reminds me like when I go on my lunch break and I sit in my car for 30 minutes and like I just rolled the windows down and just kind of sit there and just like either look at the sky or the tree or I guess like the stones or the rocks around. And I like don't really label it. I just kind of like, I guess, lose myself in it.
Nice.
Like, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like you become one with the environment that you're resting in. And so that brings you back to source.
Yes. When you don't cover up the world with words and labels, the sense of the miraculous returns to your life that was lost a long time ago when humanity, instead of using thought, became possessed by thought. A depth returns to your life. Things regain their newness, their freshness. And the greatest miracle is the experiencing of your essential self as prior to any words, thoughts, mental labels, and images. For this to happen, you need to disentangle your sense of I, of beingness, from all the things it has become mixed up with. That is to say, identified with. That disentanglement is what this book is about. I love this book.
I like that he's talking about coming to know the true essence of who you are. Instead of saying, I'm a banker, I'm a baker, I'm, you know, a programmer, you know, instead of labeling yourself as what you do, he's saying, let go of all those things that you have become identified with. Come back to your true essence of who you are. You are an infinite spiritual being having a human experience.
I love that. And right before we recorded this episode, I listened to this song by India Arie, and it's called I Am Light. And I know that, like, saying I am light is like labeling it because you're saying you're light, but it really is like going in depth. Like, you're not the things that, like, your family did, or like your voices in your head. Like, you're not the mistakes you've made. Like, you're just, you are the light.
Yes.
You're a star, you know, all that beautiful stuff.
Well, I think it's a beautiful thing to do, to to acknowledge, you know, to acknowledge that we are infinite spiritual beings, and we are having a human experience. And if we identify with that human experience, that's when the drama sets in. But if we take two steps back and realize that we are infinite spiritual beings having this human experience, then we can look at it through those eyes instead of being totally identified with your life situation and what it is that you're doing. You can take a step back and get into being and recognize the essence of your truth. The quicker you are at attaching verbal and mental labels to things, people, or situations, the more shallow and lifeless your reality becomes. And the more deadened you become to reality, the miracle of life that continuously unfolds within and around you. In this way, cleverness may be gained, but wisdom is lost. And so are joy, love, creativity, and aliveness. They are concealed in the still gap between the perception and the interpretation. Of course, we have to use words and thoughts. They have their own beauty. But do we need to become imprisoned in them? I think that's a great question he asked, which is, do we have to become imprisoned with the words, or can we be free of who we think we are, or what we think we do, or the difference we think we make, and be happy and be satisfied and be content, knowing that we are infinite spiritual beings? The fact that we're, the very fact, I'd say, that we're here says a lot about our spirit. Because coming here or incarnating on earth as a human being is no joke. It's got its challenges. And if we are identified where we think we're a finite human entity and, you know, this is it, this is our only lifetime and this is all we got and we better make it good. I mean, the pressure, the pressure is on. And it doesn't need to be that way. We can take a step back and acknowledge that we've probably incarnated thousands of times already.
I know I have from all of my ego deaths.
There you go. Perfect.
Words reduce reality to something the human mind can grasp, which isn't very much. Language consists of five basic sounds produced by the vocal cords. They are the vowels A, E, I, O, U. The other sounds are consonants produced by air pressure. S, F, G, and so forth. Do you believe some combination of such basic sounds could ever explain who you are? Or the ultimate purpose of the universe? Or even what a tree or stone is in its depth?
Well, I think this section has some provocative questions in it, really challenging us to recognize that we are so much more than who we might think we are. And if we can disconnect from who we think we are and go inside, and get connected to our source energy, we'll realize just how important we are to all that is, to the universe, to God, to source, to the essence of spirituality, to life itself. That's not to say that the role you play as a human being here on planet Earth. That's not to say that you're not playing an important role, but you're so much more than that.
Right. It's interesting because what he's saying is true. Like, words are just really like tools for everyone to kind of be on the same page about something, just so you can kind of understand, like, okay, that is a bird. But I think sometimes, like, your mind gets lost in the fact, like, oh, that's a bird without really looking into the essence of the bird or looking
Right.
at the flower and actually, like, just feeling at one with it.
Absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
yeah, I love that.
So I think for this week, try to recognize when you are totally identified with what it is that you do. And when you become aware of that, try and detach and back up and go, yeah, this is so important. And in the big scheme of things, not so much. The big scheme of things is that we're spiritual beings bringing light, consciousness to the masses so that we all awaken and have heaven on earth.
Yes, I agree with that.
All right, well, that's the end of this section. And I sure hope that you have gotten value from this. We know that for me, and I'm not going to speak for Gilda, but for me, I appreciate this time that we take out from the week and get in touch with who we are, the true essence of who we are, and the importance of bringing and sharing the light so that we can evolve as a species. So, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, thank you. I feel the same way. I'm not always around conscious people, so it's nice to have the opportunity to be present with someone else,
Yes, yes, yes,
mainly
yes.
being the one who is, or you know what I mean?
Yes, I
So,
do.
yeah,
I
so
do.
I love this.
It's nice to be with people of like mind is the way I would
Yes.
say it. It's definitely a bonus.
100%.
And I used to have a belief that it was hard to find people that were of like mind. And I got challenged by that by a very enlightened woman that said, "Really? I find them wherever I go." Okay, so I have a limiting belief
There
that
you go. Yeah, I was just gonna say. Yeah.
Oh gosh. So it's good to let go of those limiting beliefs that we might have that but how can you let go of them if unless you're made aware of them, right, in the first place?
Exactly. Yeah.
True? Yeah.
When you're conscious, you are aware of them.
Yes. All right. Until next week, then we'll see you next week. I hope you have a great one, everyone. Bye now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to WainwrightGlobal.com/go/support.